A smile is contagious. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. A smile is contagious, and that's very true. Wherever you go, when someone is smiling, you feel happy. When someone is joyous, you feel joyous. When someone is sad, you feel sad. And when someone is having a good time, then you just sort of enter right along with it without thinking, why am I having a good time? You just participate with it, and you don't worry about why they're having a good time or why you're not. Because pretty soon you stop thinking about you're not having a good time, and you start having a good time. Now, have you ever given a smile with the purpose of making someone happy? Have you ever come into somebody's house and it was real drizzly? The whole house seemed like it was everybody's mad at everybody. And then you look around and you say, well, if this doesn't take the cake. And they say, what are you talking about? Well, I come here with a smile and I haven't seen any other smiles. Anybody got a smile for me? You have a smile for me? Do you have a smile for me? You have a smile for me?
Yes.
And you don't want to play the game, huh? You have a smile for me? Okay, give me a smile. Yeah, that's the way. Sparkle out those teeth. But you see, a lot of times we don't want to do it because we think that's being silly. But the way to get a smile really going is to tell a humorous story. Now, Ellen read a humorous story from the internet here from our friends in the Philippines. And it seems like they were having a 20th wedding anniversary. And the husband gave his wife a suggestion. Well, let's go to Las Vegas and let's go to a nudist camp. And the wife says, oh, come on now, you know, what is this all about? And he says, yeah, I think it'd be kind of a different wedding anniversary activity. And she said, it sure would be different. But after a while, she said, okay, well, let's go. So they went. And after they were there for an hour or two or less, pretty soon they were talking to everybody and sharing with everybody and not paying any attention. Not paying any attention to what people had on or didn't have on. Well, they didn't have anything on. So there wasn't anything to matter about what they were having on. But what sort of flesh they hung on their frame? Because they were there from the teenagers to the 70s. And some of the people were flabby. And they were unattractive flabby. And other people were skinny. They were unattractive skinny. And some people had beautiful shapes. They just had their body tuned up like a wonderful violin. And they played it well. But after a while, you didn't even notice that. You didn't notice that people were fat or thin or tall or short. You didn't notice what their genitals looked like or anything. You just accepted them. And it was done. Now, would that everyone would have the opportunity to have that experience, they too would find that there's nothing to judge, there's nothing to look at another person about. If they got their clothes on, you say, oh, you chose to wear your red dress today. You must be feeling kind of dynamic and maybe a little violent. And oh, you're wearing your blue dress. You must be very somber, very quiet, very peaceful. You're in sort of a healing mood. Meditation-like. Oh, you're wearing your green dress, your light aqua green dress. Oh, you're into healing activity. You're into the hospital boards are all painted in that color because it's a very quieting, restraining type of color. Oh, and then you look at the various other colors that a person can wear, and you presume because they're wearing that, that that's what they have. Now, let's look at their bodies again. When a person is fat, they're fat because they have not disciplined themselves to be thin. And when they're thin, they haven't disciplined themselves to put on beef. And when they're doing anything that is contrary to what we consider the norm, well, it's because of their choice. So, we think to ourselves, oh, how ugly. Oh, how wonderful. Oh, how this, how that. And after a while, you don't think about it. You see, this is why if in the world arena of all activity, people could look at each other and not judge. Not judge what color. You notice the lady said nothing about the color of their skin. She said nothing about their ethnic background or their color of their country, or color of their country, what type of yellow, black, brown, blue, red, green, you know, whatever colors people might have. No comment was made on that. Isn't that interesting? Your eyes looked right past the color to the shape of the body. And that's very interesting because people's ethnic culture and people's where they come from and the color of their skin has always been such a tremendously important thing. But now it's becoming less and less important because in the United States, if there's much more of this integration of people from around the world, and of course, white people fall in love with black people, and brown people fall in love with red people, and white people and blue people, and pretty soon you'll have a mulatto. And do you know what a mulatto is?
Uh-huh.
What is a mulatto?
Mixed.
A mulatto is a mix. It's a mix of Spanish and black. Because in New Orleans, the mulatto is, you see, the blacks had many relationships with the Spaniards when they were down there. And the Spaniards had many relationships with the blacks. There are many Spaniard women who love the black men, and many Spaniard men who love the black women. And the black people had little less opportunity to make their own decision in those days. But because the Spaniards did this, a mulatto group of people grew up, which is a sort of a universal color. And how fortunate those people are. They're already integrated into the universality. Isn't that great? Now, it'll take a little longer for the rest of the United States to meld into this, but they will. And we can always smile about this, and we can think to ourselves, ha-ha, you go judging, and the next thing you know, you're going to fall in love with a person of that race that you're judging. This often happens. People who are very adamant against certain races or certain creeds and what have you, next thing you know, they've fallen in love with someone from that. And then they have to eat crow. So it pays never to judge anybody, never to judge anything. Always have your smile turned on full and you'll fit anywhere you go. It's a wonderful thing to be able to do, and it's a very wonderful thing to do. You can do it consciously if you wish. And you can do it unconsciously if you wish. Now you say, well, what's the deal about doing it consciously or unconsciously? Well, if you do it consciously, what you're doing is you're opening up the door now to universality. If you do it unconsciously, then it's sort of like the natural evolution of humanity as they live together, they cease to have their barriers between them, and pretty soon everybody is married to everybody else, and everybody is one great big happy mixed up family. Are you Irish or French or Italian? Are you Jewish or are you Arabian or are you, what are you? You know, Christian maybe? What are you? And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because more and more Catholics and Protestants are marrying with each other. They have over the years. And what is the interesting thing that we have seen experience when Protestants and Catholics get married? The Protestant is not a better Protestant, and the Catholic is not a better Catholic. They become better non-churchgoers, if you can call it that, because they have no longer the desire to go, because they see that in the husband or wife, who is the opposite religion that they are, they're pretty nice people. And they're pretty nice people, even though they're a different religion. And, you know, that does help to bind together the country, the people, the world. I think that as we watch this happen, there'll be fewer and fewer countries that'll be, well, look at what happened in Europe. The Euro activity that's going on over there. And it's not one country. And some are a little backward about it, like England's a little backward, not taking on the euro dollar and a few other places, but they will. They will, because it'll just be natural. They should have done it right away, immediately when they made the choice, because it's always harder later on. When Washington was president, he said, we will have the metric system in the United States. It would have been so easy to change it over at that time, But they didn't insist. When the idea comes up to do something and there's unilateral agreement on doing it, do it. Mm-hmm. Everybody, do it. You don't just stop. You don't just do your thing and go as far as you want to go. You do whatever it is that the program is, or else, you know, later it's going to be harder to change. Like us now with our Ventura. We have so much stuff in Ventura, and it should have been in Quark, and then it should have been in whatever and whatever and whatever. So now, poof, it's all gone the way of things that go. But we'll come around. We'll figure it out. The organization is not the important thing. The important thing is having the right attitude about ourselves. So, a smile is contagious. And let your mind be filled with a smile. Join in with whatever the group is doing. Hey! If I say play the game, play the game. And don't play the game with a, play the game with a great big smile. And you watch. Everything goes your way when you play the game. And when you don't play the game, then all hell breaks loose sooner or later when the game has to be played. Can you imagine changing now to the metric system? They're doing it little by little, but it is a lot of work. Okay, a smile is contagious. Be ready for your smile to set the world on flame and fire of happiness and joy and peace. I love you. I love you. I love you.